Welcome to Novo Ed Talks, where we reveal real-world strategies and expert insights from learning and development professionals. In every episode, we chat with practitioners, course designers, learning strategists, and business leads. We hear about their experiences in the learning industry and predictions for the profession and the trends that they're seeing. But before we get started, a little bit about Novo Ed. Founded at Stanford's Social Algorithms Lab in 2012, Novo Ed is a people-centric, capability-building platform that combines social and collaborative learning to drive performance readiness at scale. Through cohort-based experiences centered around human interaction, Novo Ed taps into collective wisdom, placing each learner at the center of perspective, application, and expertise. Large enterprises such as 3M, GE, Marriott International, and Nestle partner with Novo Ed to accelerate their critical initiatives, reconnect teams, and achieve rapid alignment through learning that is felt, experienced, and swiftly transformed into impact. Now, let's meet our guest for today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, a space for training trailblazers to get real. I'm your host, Melissa Fisk. I'm the producer of the Novo Ed Talks podcast, and today I am joined by Leslie Samek, who is a training manager at Ecolab. She has been with the company for 17 years and held various roles within regulatory affairs. Leslie, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Melissa. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Why don't you start by introducing yourself, your role, and a little bit about your company?
Yeah, so as Melissa said, I've been with the company for 17 years. All in regulatory affairs, and so in charge of training right now and co-leading that role with my manager. Our company provides solutions to protect what's vital. So you may see us in restaurants, hospitals, anywhere you live, work, and play.
Why don't you talk a little bit about who your learners are and what some of their biggest challenges are?
Yeah, so my learners are a global team of nearly 300 associates within regulatory affairs. So we're located in six different regions throughout the globe. And our biggest challenges are that we have learners at all different parts of their learning journey. So we may have some learners who have just started their journey at Ecolab and they're focused on onboarding or learning their new task for their role. Whereas we may have learners who have a greater tenure with the company and want to know what they can do to increase their career development and further move along their journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So a really kind of broad spectrum there. How do you approach some of those challenges if you want to, you know, address each one separately or just in general?
Yeah, so our training program is relatively new, less than 2 years. So some of the things that we've been trying to do this year is get out and be more in person in the region. So, you know, engage with the learners where they're at, meet them in person and find out what their needs are. If we're unable to do that, we are surveying them throughout the year to kind of see what's working and what's not so that we can help adjust going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned surveys there. Is that how you kind of identify and address skills gaps within the organization, or do you approach that in other ways as well?
Yeah, so one way that we've been looking at skills gaps is we've been moving away from the word training and moving more towards commercial enablement or commercial mindset. So, you know, in regulatory, we are sometimes thought of as a red tape function, but we want to be thought of more as helping to enable sales. And so some of the training that we've been doing in order to get there is bringing on counselor salesperson and also corporate storytelling. So by offering these types of trainings to our associates, they're able to understand the sales language and also increase the value that they can bring to the organization.
Awesome. I love that corporate storytelling. I think that's just such a cool piece to bring to it. How do you currently measure the effectiveness of your programs? And what are some, if you have any, core KPIs that you kind of try and track and measure?
Yeah, so core KPIs are hard with the program being so new. So we are trying to work on that to understand, you know, what impact can we bring and how can we better align to business goals by actually showing those core KPIs. Recently, we completed 6 weeks of development season. So this is where our associates are encouraged to go take 30 minutes each week and increase their career development. So with that, we ran kind of a contest and we had the team participate in different activities. So some of those were overall corporate activities and some were activities that we had within regulatory. So during this time, we had some KPIs and we saw 70% of our global team has skills that they've entered in our Workday system. We had 58 hours of one-to-one discussions between associates and our senior leadership team. And then we also had a third of our team complete a learning model training. So we have a new learning model and a third of the team went in and did that training online during development season.
Wow. Can you share a successful case study or example of an L&D initiative that significantly impacted employee performance and contributed to the overall success? I don't know if you want to talk about what you were just mentioning there, or if you have another example you'd like to share.
Sure. So development season was kind of a one-off example that was run by corporate. But in terms of a regulatory example, we had launched a regulatory value program last year. So we were focused on responsive, proactive, and innovative value. So part of what we were looking to do with this is create a value network where we could connect with the sales teams and show them the value that regulatory can bring to the organization. So this program continues to evolve this year, and we've expanded on that value network, whereas we're looking at working to merchandise and monetize our value in partnership with the business. And the key here is that this isn't just for the Value Ally Network or select leaders. It's for all of our associates. So we want to be able to show how all of our associates can bring value in their daily work to the regulatory affairs and broader organization.
Wow, that's awesome. What role does technology play in some of your L&D programs? And are there specific kind of tools or platforms that you leverage to kind of enhance your L&D programs?
Sure. We've started using SharePoint more. So we set up a communication site on SharePoint where the team can go and engage and look for training opportunities, maybe even see events that are coming up. And then on a weekly basis, we've been using Microsoft Teams to share a training tip. So it's something simple as, you know, a way to update your Workday profile. Here's a new training you can take. Here's a way you can participate in something in the future. So all these things help engage the team and they can go and like and comment and show us how they're participating with those initiatives.
Awesome. Thinking about just kind of the L&D industry in general, as things have obviously, you know, rapidly evolved over the past 5 years, I feel like it was, you know, dramatic shifts during COVID for a lot of folks. And then now we've kind of had some time to adjust to whatever, you know, our organization's new normal might be. But what are some key takeaways you would say you've seen over the past 5 years?
Yeah, it certainly has been a time of change, but I think one thing that I've seen is that something that hasn't changed is that business leaders and the training program goals always need to be aligned, right? So we need to make sure that our goals work with what the business is seeing. And when we're aligned in partnership, we can achieve better outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny that you say that. I feel like a lot of people have been commenting on just, you know, while there has been a lot of things that have changed, like a lot of people have been commenting on, okay, with all of this change, what we've found is that X, Y, and Z needs to stay the same. And a lot of that is kind of like the human element of things per se. So kind of as the workplace continues to evolve, that being said, how do you see the future of L&D? Like, do you see any specific kind of emerging technologies that you believe will shape the way organizations invest in L&D?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands out to me is that employers need to have a vested interest in their employees and their development, you know, and as employees have a different focus now and maybe aren't staying in roles or even staying with a corporation as long as they were in the past, if the employer is vested in their career development, they'll see that and perhaps, you know, want to stay with that organization longer. So here at Ecolab, we have a great support for L&D. And, you know, we can see organizations that have this. We have employees who are vested in what's coming next and can see the value of that.
Yeah, absolutely. As a fun send-off for our last question here, what advice would you give to those just stepping into a leadership role?
Yeah, I would say always be open to listen, learn, and network to continue to grow. Leadership is an evolving process, and as long as you're learning and growing, your potential is limitless.
That's a great one. I love the listen as an advice there, just because I think there's so many people who step into these leadership roles and think that, their job is to just like maybe dictate a little bit. And I think it has to absolutely be a lot of listening as well. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time here on the NovaWed Talks podcast. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Melissa. It was great to be here.
And thank you to our listeners for tuning in once again.